Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 10, 70 nations are given, and 30 are from Cam. We say Ham, but in the Hebrew the name is Cam. 14 nations come from Japheth, which include the Anglo-Saxons and the Europeans, the Germanic people, and other European groups. And the 30 nations that come from com would comprise the African peoples, which include the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, the Phoenicians, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and we will see that these were the from these people we have some very interesting history. We have the in verse 13 of chapter 10 we have Mitzrayim, and in verse 15 we have Canaan. So Ham is very prominent in the scriptures, and when the people of Abraham move into the land of Canaan and encounter the great city-states there, they would be greatly comprised by those who are the descendants of Ham. Canaanite is a language, a Semitic language, and Isaiah 19:18 speaks of this, this Semitic language. Canaanite is part of a group of West Semitic languages, of which Hebrew, Phoenician, and Moabite were dialects. So we read that the Israel spoke the lip of Canaan. And also in chapter 10, we have the Semite groups, which are from Shem. In Hebrew, Shem means name. And 26 nations come from Shem. And the Tower of Babel, we have, we read in verse 1, and the whole world had one language and a common speech, or of one lip and one tongue. And it is a narrative of self-preservation. It is prominently humanistic. And these people, we read, wanted to build themselves the name. And this also has very powerful eschatological associations that will rise again toward the end of this ion or age. So, also in chapter 11, verse 10, in the account of Shem, we read, This is the account of Shem 2 years after the flood. And so the flood narrative is a very powerful and very important part of the Genesis document. And so from a general viewpoint, once again, that comprises the, or makes up the, what we call the primeval prologue. We move from the general to the particular. And God has focused his attention on one particular family, and of whom Terah is the father. This is Genesis 11, verse 27. This is the account of Terah. And from there, we focus on one of the sons of Terah. Terah had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And God chooses Abram. We read that Haran died in Ur of the Chaldees, which was an ancient name for Babylon, or Babylonia. And so Nahor is not chosen, but Abram is chosen. He is the focus of God's attention. Verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So the name Haran means delay. And after the death of Terah, then God moved decisively in Abram's life so that Abram will begin to fulfill his destiny. Chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1 reads, "The Lord had said to Abram," and notice this is after the death of Terah, his father, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." And then we have the "I will" statements made by God in verses 2 and verses 3. So here in Genesis chapter 12, we have a call narrative. And it is the call narrative of Abram. There are several call narratives in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so there are some important items to understand. In verse 1, we have leave your country. So the verb is placed at the beginning of the sentence in order to show its importance. Leave your country. Your people and your father's household, and go. And so so we have leave, go, show. Three important verbs given in verse 1. Leave your father's household and go to the land I will show you. And at this point, God has not yet revealed to Abram the land to which he will be called. And in verse 4 we read, "So Abram left, as the Lord had told him." God speaks to Abram. Abram answers the divine summons. This is very important because we get a sense of Abram's sensitivity to the will of God in his life. Ur of the Chaldees was a very prominent metropolitan center, steeped in idolatrous worship. Many wonderful innovations, many wonderful technologies, interwoven with incredible idolatry. God called Abram out from among this very advanced civilization with both its positive and negative characteristics, because God was doing a new thing. And Abram was a very prominent part of God's new thing. So Abram is told to leave. This is the response of faith. And once again, in Hebrews chapter 11, in the New Testament, verses 1 and 2, we are given a definition of faith, or pistis. In the Old Testament documents, there is we're given no definition of faith, but faith is demonstrated through one's action. In the Testament, faith is demonstrated by what one does. The Hebrews were concrete thinkers. And so concrete action exemplified the state of the heart. So Abram demonstrated his faith, or let me use the more accurate Hebrew term. Abram demonstrated his firmness in Yahweh. Now, the word firmness is a transliteration of the Hebrew word aman, A-M-A-N, from which we get the English word amen. Aman means firmness, and it is the picture of a tent stake being placed among other tent stakes so as to raise a tent and to keep it strong, and the rope strong and taut. And so firmness is prominent. Firmness is important. So Abram demonstrates his firmness in Yahweh through decisive action. And this is the most prominent aspect in building a credible faith resume, the response to the call of God. Notice in chapter 12 that divine revelation is situation specific. God speaks directly to Abram. There is nothing general about this call. Divine revelation is situation specific. Two, note that divine revelation is decisive. God spoke to one individual, that is Abram, and there is the call and response. The call and response. The response is important. It is the foundation, that is, obedience is the foundation upon which one builds a credible faith resume. It is saying yes to the will of God. It is responding in the affirmative to the demand of God, to the summons of God. There is that decisive break with what is in order to create something brand new, to become a pioneer for God, to create something that is unheard of, something that does not yet exist. But when one joins himself or herself to the God who calls those things into being that did not exist before, then we see the power, the inherent, the intrinsic power of what it means to be united to God, who is not limited in his creativity, and who, through his human instrument, also shows his creativity in creating that which hitherto had never existed. Abram has chosen to be within that destiny, to be God's chosen instrument. One, divine revelation is situation specific. Two, divine revelation is decisive. Three, divine revelation is given in stages. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. God did not unfold or did not reveal to Abram his complete plan for his life. Here we have what in the New Testament is we're in the New Testament, one is told that we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to the words. We walk by faith and not by sight. Pisticism, Hebrews chapter 11, is over against empiricism. Now understand the nature of the message. Empiricism asks, or empiricism demands, that one has so-called evidence that is before one's eyes, empirical. I can palpate, I can see, without noting that the human retina can only receive, or we only receive, 1/1,000,000th of the electromagnetic spectrum. Without being aware that we are very, very limited, and that human touch can only go so fast, human taste can only go so fast. And so empiricism is very limited. But pisticism is creative. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, it would be very interested to have a David Hume to have really understood the message in the Word of God. But then that's another topic entirely. So, point four, divine revelation demands action. Divine revelation demands action. We are responsible for the light we receive. Light creates responsibility. Abram responds to the light of divine self-revelation. He responds affirmatively to the will of God. There is no fear. Abram shows that his life is not self-centered. He shows through his action, Genesis 12:4, so Abram left. He demonstrates his firmness in Yahweh. He takes action. Point five, divine revelation is a call to faith action. One begins the faith walk, or to create a credible faith resume through an initial response of faith, and then that is built upon in steps. As one moves out by faith and continues to push beyond one's intellectual reservations, as one pushes beyond all of those things in life that create the halt, one moves out beyond indecisiveness. One stops allowing the past to control the present. And how many people do you know who allow the past to control the present? so they are spiritually stunted, or they are, or how many do you know are sleepwalking through life, and who will die having never lived? This is an exciting chapter because we see that the response on the part of Abraham, or Abram, I should say, is blessed. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, or Hebrew, Baraka, or Barak, to bow the knee to you. I will make your Shem, your name, great, and you will be a blessing. And notice, verse 3, I will bless Barak, those who bless you, and I will curse, which is the opposite of blessing. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth, on the gate, will be blessed through you. Abram believes God. There is his firmness moves him into action. He does not remain passive. The word of God, the Debar Yahweh, the word of God has come into his life as event. The Debar has come into the life of Abram and shown him something marvelously different about life. Abram knows that something wonderful has taken place within, because in verse 4 we read that Abram left as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. That is, when he set out from Delay. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram realized that following Yahweh was the most important thing he could do in his life. He would not allow himself to be weighed down by the past, or more significantly, he did not remain at Delay. It is imperative that God speaks to you that you do not remain at Delay with its distractions, with its Vanity Fair, with its inherent limitations. If God has called you to a great work, then one must respond to him, because it is in obedience to God that one's life is truly blessed. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day, and I will speak with you next time on Pneumatikos.